Welcome back to the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in, Tom, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Jack. Big day, football day, just an exciting weekend for football.
Absolutely, and a lot of excitement in these communities. Tom, you know, you were in Holt last night. And
oh, it was a tremendous environment, and you know, both sides were packed, and East Lansing even brought it strong on the road, so I was really impressed. You know what, guys, the key to high school football? Weather-related.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've had some pretty good ones these first three.
And we spend a lot of time talking about the bigger schools. But, John, last night you saw a game at a show that the passion is not restricted to the CAAC Blue Division.
Well, I must say, we went to the Bath-Dansville game last night. Linda, my office manager, her son Austin is a senior. He blocked an extra point, and he, of course, it was like the most wonderful thing in our section. But those small towns, we walk in there. And I had a bath hat on. I mean, everybody is friendly. There's a rivalry. They're saying that the Dansville coach and players are talking dirt, you know, to the players. It's just fun. And by the way, so many people show up in these small towns. So it was really exciting. You know, it's not like if you go to, you know, you go to East Lansing or you go to Sexton or go to Catholic. You go to these, you know, kind of you think of them as big time, but take my word for it. When you're in Bath or you're in Dansville or you're Fowler, you're PW, St. Pat, I mean, those crowds are wild, and it's a community event. It's really something and wonderful.
That's the beauty of high school football.
Well, yeah,
Tom.
There's That's another right. element. I call them freestanding communities. They're communities that are that there's separation from the metropolitan, you know, the core town, if you will.
That's right.
And there's more. And you know, I'm not saying there's nothing better to do, but a lot of people, they'll go, you know, you go to a game at St. John's, for example, they'll be 4 and 5 deep around the end zone.
You wouldn't believe the Grand Ledge fans last night at Okemos.
Oh, Grand Ledge. Well, yeah, I believe in Grand Ledge. I mean, they, you know, you're playing the town, as you always say.
But the Okemos fans turned out big for that.
I tell you what,
so.
You know, it's fantastic. I like hearing that.
Yeah.
Listen, it's just wonderful. In generations, too, like, getting back on Austin there, his grandparents are there, he's got an uncle there, he's got cousin, he's got his father, mother, everybody is there. It's just a wild event for many generations of a family. It's wonderful.
John, besides what's going on the field today down at Ford Field, I know you'll be down there as I will, and I know that a lot of people are going to be paying close attention to these other Big Ten matchups today, but I want to talk to you about what happens off the field when someone is injured. And, Tom, you know, there was a dramatic moment last week at Michigan Stadium.
Right.
And now with Josh Rouse having that career-ending neck injury last week, can you talk about the psychology of that and the broken dreams for someone who's worked so hard to come on as a fifth-year senior?
Well, I think it's one of those tragedies. If you remember, George Perlis had this happen to him. And on a smaller level, my son John had his wrist broke his senior year, missed a good share of the year. Let's take Josh in, who I really don't know. But apparently the players know him. They love him. They care for him. They were so emotional when they talked about him. He's got his fifth year. He's ready to play. We need a fullback. And then this happens. Devastating. And the problem is, you don't have a backup plan at that time because this is the dream. This is what you're going to do. All your energy, everything, you know, thousands of hours preparing, getting ready, gearing up, and poof, just like that in a play, in an odd play, just the way it kind of worked. If you saw how it happened, he just kind of jumped over, kind of fell on something, hit it wrong. And this is when he really has to look to the future, really realize that he will be remembered as a winner, somebody that a bad thing happened to him, and how does he deal with it? How does he cope? How does he help other people? From what I can see, from what the players think of him and the coaches, he will get over this, and he is going to be a champion and a guy who's going to have a successful life. But for now, this is a pretty devastating type thing for a young man who's ready to do his best and felt he was completely ready, so prepared for a lifetime of sports, really 21 years, probably 22.
You know, John, you know, I'm going to make one point here that I think is very valid. That, you know, I agree totally with you. But you know one thing? I'm going to look at a positive thing about this. this kid played college football at D1 at a Big Ten school and can grasp onto that his entire life.
Yeah, I mean, touchdown catch against Michigan 2 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's horrible, but, you know, they – and, you know, I know all these ex-Michigan players. I mean, it is so much a part of their adult life going back, having ownership in that program, and that's something that's going to carry him through. And as long as it's not a dehabilitation, you know, and an injury that's going to, you know, wreck his life, I mean – you know, he's going to have some great – this is a great thing that he went through playing college. Everybody's going to be better by playing college football.
The other great thing about this, and, John, I think you're aware of this, Josh Rouse is not your average bear. I mean, he's already got 1 degree. He's closing in on a second degree in psychology.
How do they do that?
Well, I think that – I didn't know that, Jack, but I think that shows his priorities of – always been in line. But I think what both of you are saying is really true. He's moving ahead. He's preparing. And what Tom says, he'll always be remembered on the team. And when these guys get together over the years, there's going to be a special place for Josh. There's no question. No question.
John, one more thing I want to go over before we let you go. Trap games. We hear that term all the time. Obviously, everyone's up for their opener. You're up for a big rivalry game. Could this be a look-ahead game for Michigan State today against Florida Atlantic?
Oh, I really think so. I saw them beat Minnesota here a few years ago at Minnesota. Last night, as I came home, I caught the end of that Marshall game, and Marshall really had West Virginia totally on the ropes. And I think if Michigan State goes in with a grizzled old veteran like Stellenberger, you know, we'll call Tom Osborne and ask him about that 83 Miami-Nebraska game. So you better, they better go into there. They'd be ready, really ready to play because, you know, for sure they're going to have athletes. They're going to be ready to play. They're going to be loose. Everyone's assuming we're going to blow them away. I believe the odds are 28 points. I mean, I'm always wary of games like this. So, yes, this could be a trap game.
You know, John, you know what this game epitomizes for me? It tells me that Michigan State fan and a lot of college football fans, if you are not having to force yourself to go to a game because it's part of a package deal, as in season tickets, you're not going to see a crap opponent. No disrespect to Florida Atlantic. How many seats are they? 25,000 seats?
Yeah, they're hoping to get 30 or 35
max. It's disgusting. You know why? That tells you that we as season ticket holders wouldn't be going to these games because you're playing such inferior competition.
But wouldn't Michigan have 50,000 people there today?
Another thing, both of you guys, Scott Eckersley brought up a good point earlier this morning. If this game had been after Notre Dame coming off a high, off a win, which I think they're going to beat the Irish in East Lansing on that Saturday night, there'd probably be more people there because it's a celebration. I thought a very valid point. But now, right now, Michigan State fans, they haven't totally bought into this thing yet. Right. You know what I mean? They haven't committed themselves. So am I going to drive down to Detroit for a noon kickoff? No. I'm not going. And they're showing it in their ticket numbers.
And the pricing was screwed up on this a little bit too, John. They started off with premium pricing, and then they went back to regular pricing. Now you know what the tickets are? $19, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. We're selling to the bare walls, baby.
Hey, John, look forward to seeing you down at Ford Field. Maybe we'll get together afterward.
And listen, for sure, you guys have a great time. And tough loss last night, Tom. So you're dealing with that.
They'll bounce back. I can promise you that.
Very good. Good talking to you
guys. Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. We'll be back with some open line, 393-3700, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.